May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. This is the second in a series of messages on our United Methodist principles. The social principles divide our human life and experience into four different communities: the community of all creation, which we spoke about last week, the economic community, the social community, and the political community. And as I mentioned last week, our United Methodist social principles are not church law, but rather reflects the prayerful and thoughtful views of a wide-ranging group of United Methodist leaders. So if you don't agree with them, that's okay. You can still be part of the church, and we hope that you would be. I can't remember the last organization I was a part of that I absolutely believed in everything, right down to the last dot and tittle of what they were all about. But these principles are designed to help us live in unity with one another. The encompassing verse that I believe captures the intent of the social principles is found in Paul's writing, specifically when he wrote to the people of Rome, "If it is all possible, if it is at all possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. I mentioned last week that in 1908, the Methodist Episcopal Church was the first denomination to adopt a social creed, which called for the, quote, equal rights and complete justice for all in all stations of life. And I mentioned that while it is the hope of both our scriptures and the purpose of the social principles that we should live in harmony and peace together, there have been moments of conflict and separation. Most notably and certainly most dramatically was when we fought with each other and divided over the issue of slavery in the 1800s. And the two denominations split into the Methodist Episcopal Church South and the Methodist Episcopal Church. Then they reunited in 1939, and then in 1968, the Methodist Church and the Evangelical United Brethren Churches united to become the United Methodist Church. So there's a little bit of history. 4 years later, in 1972, they got together and they put together what we call our modern, what I would call our modern social principles, which contains some divisive words concerning homosexuality, as we would now say LGBT plus or queer community. There were some divisive words about many different issues in that document. A side note that let me give you a little bit of background on that. They went from "we do not recommend marriage between two persons of the same sex" to the quote that homosexuality is incompatible with Christian faith. The only other issue that is deemed incompatible with Christian faith at that time was war. So now on this Mother's Day, I'm not going to focus on that issue alone. However, by the time that I entered the full-time ministry 12 years later, after 1972, the battle had begun. And it was hard fought until last year when we divided into at least two different denominations. And United Methodist churches were able then to become independent churches if they so willed. So we're far from living peaceably with all. But we're trying. We are a work in progress. Today we're considering the third section of the social principles, the section titled The Social Community, because it has to do with family. It's astonishing how many issues are addressed in this section of our new social principles. There are two subdivisions in this section: the principle titled the social community and the nurturing community, and other social issues. The nurturing community speaks of family acknowledging its significant role in nurturing the physical, the moral, the spiritual development of children, youth, and adults. This certainly pays homage to the biblical perspective that the family is the smallest unit of faith, that it is in the family that faith is created, is nurtured. Deep in our religious heritage, beginning with our predecessor faith of Judaism, the family was the basic unit of community. The family is where the rituals and faith traditions were taught, the scriptures were read, family prayer time was practiced. The family was the worship center of the faith. In my time growing up, I remember that we always had an Advent wreath in our home as well as the one that was in church. And many practices in the church were also practiced in the home, not just during services on Sunday morning. The nurturing community portion of our social principles lifts up the importance of family, recognizing that the many family constellations that have really been in existence for thousands of years, if you think about it. I mean, just from the biblical perspective, think of the family that was Naomi and her two daughter-in-laws. Think of couples without children, families with a great number of children, all found in our scriptures. Our principles lift up the single person. It talks about human sexuality and the worth of every person. Our social principles in the social community segment supports our open adoptions for medical as well as relational issues, benefits for the child. One of the things that to keep in mind as you read the social principles is that our United Methodist denomination is a worldwide church. So there's a whole section on child marriage, not an issue in the United States, but it is around the world. Children being married as young as single digits, as practiced in some regions of our world. So we have a stance on that. One of the things you'll learn about the United Methodist Church, if you spend a little time about that, is say, does the United Methodist Church have a stance about blank, fill in the blank? And the answer is yes. Yes, we do. we're not shy with putting out a stance. Now, it's debatable. Like I said, this is not church law. And by the way, there are some copies out there. You can Google it and look up our social principles of the United Methodist Church. But there are a few copies left on a table out in our narthex. I'll be standing beside that table if you want directions to that. And we'll make more as we might need them. The other principles relating to the social community concern substance abuse and alcohol and tobacco. We have a stance on bullying, other forms of violence. We recognize the tangled and complex legacies of colonialism and neocolonialism and tribalism and their consequences. Death and dignity is covered in this section of our social principles. A perspective is put forth on the issues of gambling, gender equality and diversity, media and communication technologies, pornography, medical experimentation and research, organ donation and transplantation, reproductive health and abortion. Whew. And the point of me rattling off all of those issues is to allow us to wonder, as the wide scope of issues that we United Methodists have a perspective to offer in the world. I used to, as I've said, if you've ever wondered if we've had a stance on it, we definitely do. The section in the social community ends with addressing the issues of racism and ethnocentrism, tribalism, as well as the issue of sexual harassment and abuse and assault. So much of the social principles is about protecting and ministering to the least of these, as Jesus would say it in his parable, as he identifies those in need of help and healing the pains of their lives and restoring them to their human dignities. In our scripture from Luke's gospel, Jesus is approaching the city of Jerusalem, and he's warned by some Pharisees to get away from there because his life is in danger. They tell him that Herod wants to kill him. And two things might occur to you when you read these first couple of verses in our gospel lesson for today. First might be, wow, there were some Pharisees that looked favorably upon Jesus and apparently wanted to protect him. And then secondly, Jesus sort of puffs up his chest and he declares, you go and tell that fox, talking about Herod, listen, I'm casting out demons and performing cures today and tomorrow, and on the third day I will finish my work. I'm just like, I'll finish my work when I want to finish my work, Herod. Yet today, tomorrow, and the next day, I must be on my way, Jesus says, because it is impossible for a prophet to be killed outside of Jerusalem. It's the beginning of a lament, if you will. And it's a warning to Herod. Scottish biblical scholar William Barclay writes that the image of the fox is threefold, that the fox is a symbol of the slyest animal or the most deceptive animal, that the fox is the most destructive animal, and the fox is also a symbol of a worthless and insignificant man. So there you go, Herod. That's what Jesus thinks of you. Second, Jesus speaks of 3 days when he'll be working and ministering to people for 2 days, and on the third day he'll finish that work. This is partially as he goes into the city of Jerusalem and during the last week of his life, he's sort of saying, I've got work to do. I'll be doing this work until the very last. But it also foreshadows the 2 days in the tomb and then the great resurrection on Easter Sunday morning when Jesus' work is really completed. After these words, Jesus enters into this prayer of lament for the city of Jerusalem. He begins by lamenting and addressing the leaders of Jerusalem, making mention of how prophets are killed there. He offers some of the most beautiful and caring images of our scripture. I really like this scripture. I've always liked this one. How often have I desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wing. But then you were not willing. So just as our social principles seek to care for those who are disadvantaged or marginalized and without power, Jesus would like to take care of them as a hen gathers her brood under a protective wing. But the leaders of the city will not have it, and they will not see the mutual benefit for the people of Jerusalem. So Jesus offers another prophetic proclamation against the leadership, saying, "See, your house is left to you." And this verse is connected to a prophecy by the Hebrew prophet Jeremiah when he warned the religious leaders of his day, "But if you will not heed these words, I swear by myself, says the Lord, that this house shall become a desolation." In both New Testament Greek and modern English, the word house can stand not only for a building, but it stands for the family. And the house of Herod was tangled. The family line did not resemble so much a tree, but this rather tangled ball of yarn. This Herod named Antipas, about whom the Pharisees warned Jesus, had other relatives killed. They had different marriages and divorces and that were illegal, ill-considered, and incestuous. So when we say, get your house in order, we're not talking about vacuuming and doing a little dusting. We're talking about paying attention to the needs of the people living in that house, not to be in abusive relationships, but rather to care. So on this Mother's Day, when we celebrate mothers and family, Jesus offers us the wonderful image of that hen that protects her brood. And that image causes me to ask, who needs protecting in our society? Who needs protecting in our society? Who are the most vulnerable? Who needs to experience the love of God through Jesus Christ? We are to care for the least of these, says Jesus. We look at the image of the hen sheltering her brood, and I'd like to conclude with some other caring feminine images for God that is found in our scriptures and have always been there. In the book of the prophet Isaiah, God is compared to a mother in labor. God is compared to a nursing mother and a comforting mother. In Hosea, the minor prophet Hosea, his writings, God is described as a mother who is teaching her toddler to walk. So friends, we are to birth new ways in which we can help others in this world. We are to nurse and nurture and comfort people in need, all so that they can learn to walk on their own, not for our own glory, but for glory of God, of our loving God. The social principles outline tremendous needs of our societies and our world. May we seek out those who are living in desolate homes, who are living desolate lives, and may we strengthen by God's Holy Spirit, seek to make a difference in those lives. And that's the word of God for the people of God in the name of our Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer. Amen.